Hello, my name is Daniel Morris, and I'm pastor of Cultivate Church Nashville. I want to invite you to join us each Sunday on the Roots campus in Cool Springs for Bible study at 9 a.m. for adults, students, and children, and worship beginning at 10:30 a.m. Our vision is to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing every day in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at Cultivate, we're committed to bringing the love and transforming power of Christ to all people through evangelism and missions both here in the Nashville region and around the world. We're a church on the move, and I invite you to join us on our journey.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Last Sunday was, as you know, Easter. It was an incredible Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, you know what I mean. We asked, we prayed, and we asked God to show up and for His presence and for His power, and He did not let us down. It was here, and I believe that He did a lasting work in people's lives. I know that because I've talked to so many of our guests and know that God is working. And so we're trusting that the Lord is continuing His work. If you're returning from last week, thank you so much for coming back. But here's what I've been wrestling with all week long. Here's what I'm wrestling with. If the resurrection is really that powerful, if Jesus can conquer death, hell, and the grave, then why do so many of us still feel so broken? And that's where we're going today. Because the truth is, some of us walked into the room smiling on the outside, but we're bleeding on the inside. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've lost someone suddenly, not to old age, but suddenly or violently or tragically. Maybe you've been betrayed by people who were supposed to protect you. Maybe you've gone through divorce or survived abuse or endured a wound that's still fresh years later. Others of you carry pain that's hidden. The pain may be of infertility or miscarriage. There's the crushing weight of depression or anxiety, the pain of a child who's walked away from God, the exhaustion of carrying unhealed church hurt. And some of us have built our whole personality around the pain, and we've told ourselves, oh, this is just who I am now. This is my new normal. I'm too far gone to ever be whole again. I've dealt with it too long. I'm too hurt to ever trust again. But I need to tell you something, and I want you to hear this with your hearer. That's not the gospel. All of those things that I just said, that's not the gospel. The gospel, you have to understand, doesn't just save you from hell, but it also gives you abundant life now. Do you want abundant life now? The gospel, it inserts itself into our pain and tends to it and heal us from it. C.S. Lewis once said, pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, He speaks in our conscience, but He shouts in our pain. And I believe that God was shouting in the room last week. And I believe that He's shouting something again today, but not with anger, but with an invitation to stop hiding, stop surviving, and start healing. The message is for anyone who's ever sat in church thinking, if they only knew what I was carrying today, if they only knew what I've done or what was done to me. Listen, we're not here to cover up bleeding. We're not here to just put a Band-Aid on and then keep going on. So today I raise the question, how do I heal from what broke me? Now let me ask you this. Has anyone in the room ever been broken? And I know the answer to that question. Do you know the answer to that question? Everyone in this room has been broken, is broken, will be broken. All of the above. Over and over again. Why? Because we live in a world of brokenness and sin. That's why. We're not going to ignore the pain today. There's no sense in it. We're wasting our time. We're not going to ignore it. We're not going to pretend everything's okay, because everything is not always okay, is it? We're going to bring it into light. Not to relive it, but to see it overcome and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Do you know you have a testimony through your brokenness? Did you know that? If you will allow the Lord to give you a testimony. Because the same Jesus who walked out of the grave last week is still walking into hospital rooms. He's still walking into counseling sessions. He's still walking into broken hearts. He's still walking into empty bedrooms with resurrection power. And we must know that, and we must proclaim that, and we must act on that in faith. And here's my prayer. My prayer is that today is a day that you begin to move from a place of brokenness and hurting, if that's where you are, to a place of wholeness and peace. And whether it's a leap or an inch, I don't care. That's between you and God. Today can be, and I'm declaring, is going to be a step toward healing. And I want us, listen, I don't want you to walk out talking about the sermon. I want you to walk out talking about what God has done in your life in this place today. That's what I want. That's what I want. At the conclusion of this message, I'm going to extend an invitation for your healing and deliverance. We're going to take time, and that's going to be a part of the process today. I'm warning you, so if the Lord's just rings your bell so you know. So I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to pray. We're going to start in Luke 8. We're going to start verse 40 and go through 48. But before we do, would you join me in praying, asking the Holy Spirit to guide us? Would you do that? Lord, we need you now. I won't do another minute without you. Reveal truth to us through your word. Evoke something in us that needs to be evoked. Convict us of sin. Shed light on brokenness so that it may be healed. And transform something. Speak. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, starting in verse 40, here we go. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. So they're waiting. Jesus is doing his miracles. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's doing all these things. There were people waiting for him. They were eager to see him. He was just on the other side of the lake. Now he's come over. There was a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue. He came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. And his daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. That's one scenario. It's one thing. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. There's a big crowd of them there. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." How would we know who touched you? But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me." Oh, that's important. "For I felt healing power go from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, that's important, she began to tremble. And she fell to her knees in front of him. And the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And look what he said to her. He said, "Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Do you feel the weight of that passage? Do you sense the Holy Spirit working through it? God bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated. If you're taking notes today and you want to know what we need to do to heal from what has broken us, here's number one. You need to come to Jesus while you're still bleeding. Come to Jesus while you are still bleeding. You can be broken and you can still believe. You can be broken and you can still believe. Look back at verse 42. As Jesus went with her, he was surrounded by crowds, and a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years. I underline that in my Bible, with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. And some manuscripts even add that she had spent everything that she had on doctors. For 12 years she had been bleeding, over a decade plus two. 12 years of doctor's visits, 12 years of being ceremonially unclean, 12 years of rejection, of being shut out, of being unseen, and yet with all of that, she still made the effort, got out among the crowd, and in desperation, she reached for Jesus. And that's a word for somebody today, by the way. You don't have to have it all together to come to Jesus. Often the enemy uses something that sounds sort of right, but it's a little off. And one of the things that he'll say, if you only had more faith. You ever heard that? You ever thought that? If I only had more faith. But he doesn't say it in a convicting way. He always says it in a condemning, shameful way. Have you ever noticed that? And some of you are so ashamed that we claim to be believers but struggle with brokenness and wounds that we wouldn't dare to reach out in a crowd. Faith doesn't mean that you're not hurting. Faith just means that you're still reaching. And here's the truth. Healing doesn't begin when the pain stops. Healing begins when you stop pretending that you're okay. And some of us have been putting on a smile on our face and a bandage on a wound that's still bleeding underneath. And you've told yourself, that's just the way I am. It's my new normal. But listen to me, that's not healing, that's hiding. Psalm 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds, not ignores them, not judges them, not tells them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get over it. He heals them, period. I remember sitting in my car after a Sunday service, completely exhausted. Not here, by the way, although I have had those days. And I'll tell you, I'm standing today completely exhausted. If you want to know. And some of you are sitting there completely exhausted. I get it. But I remember sitting in my car this Sunday. It was several years ago. Everyone saw the smile on my face. Everyone saw me lead. But inside, I was bleeding out. And I remember gripping the steering wheel and thinking, if they only knew, if all of those people only knew the weight that I was carrying in this moment. But I couldn't tell anybody. Because I thought, oh, that would displace me from being able to lead them. I was in the Word. I was praying. But I was still hurting. I was still wounded. And I'm going to tell you what I was wounded with. I was wounded so badly by a root of insecurity so strongly that it affected every relationship in my life. Every room I walked into, I glanced the room and I took the temperature of the room just to see where I was going to go and where I was going to stand so that I wouldn't be in an uncomfortable situation that I didn't want to be in. That's control, by the way. Insecure people need to have control. And I needed to have control of my surroundings so that I wouldn't get hurt and nobody would step on that wound. If they only found out how really I was. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, "What do you want? What do you want?" And I remember crying out to him. I said, "I just want to be healed from this wound. I need to be set free from this." And the Holy Spirit, I felt, said to me in that moment, "Son, that's a prayer I'm going to answer. Because I haven't been waiting for you to get all cleaned up. I've been waiting on you to come clean before me." You get what I'm saying? I've been waiting for you to just to bring that to light. I've been waiting for you to get honest with me. And that moment changed me. There's something that shifted in the Spirit in that moment. I believe that He's saying the same thing to some of you here today. He's got to be. He's got to be. You don't need to be strong, you just need to be honest. You don't need to be polished, you just need to be present. The longer you hide the wound, the deeper it festers. Did you know that? But when you bring it to Jesus, bleeding and all, He doesn't just see your pain, He moves toward it. He moves toward it. So if that's you today, if you've been faking strong while bleeding out, just like me, this could be your day. Come to Jesus while you're still bleeding, while you're still hurting. Are you desperate enough that you'd come, that you'd even come in a crowd, even as small as this? Could you even muster it up in the chaos and the messiness of your wound and all the bloodiness there? Can you reach out and touch Jesus today? Can you do that? Because that's what it's going to take to be healed. Here's number two. And this was the first thing that I noticed, by the way, when I was studying this passage, but I just worked it in behind number one. And here's the deal, and you need to hear this. You are not alone. You need to know that you are not alone. You're not alone in this battle. You're not the only one that's gone through what you're going through. You're not. The woman was in a crowd, verse 42 says, that she was surrounded by the crowds. They were surrounded. She wasn't the only one in pain. She wasn't the only one bleeding. She wasn't the only one desperate. She was surrounded by need. And guess what? So were you. She wasn't alone in her suffering. And listen to me, you're not alone in yours. The enemy loves to isolate. And I'm going to tell you how he isolates. He isolates with condemning absolutes. I want you to write that down. The enemy isolates with condemning absolutes. I'm going to tell you what I mean. Here it is. Here's what he says to you. He says with a condemning absolute, everyone else has it together. Do you hear that? That's an absolute. Everyone else? That's an absolute. He says, everyone else has it together. That's condemning. That's not convicting. He'll say, you're the only one struggling with that. That's a lie. That's dumb. But he'll say that, won't he? Hasn't he said that to you? Yes. He'll say, if they find out what you're carrying, they'll all think you're weak. That condemning absolute. That's stupid too. Here's the truth. You're not the only one who needs healing today. What if the person next to you is battling something too? What if the person on your row is battling? What if the strongest person in your row that you know is secretly bleeding out today? All right, now let's flip the script for just a second. And I'm going to tell you a truth bomb right here. The weak ones aren't the ones coming forward for healing. The weak ones are the ones who refuse to reach out. I'm sorry. Because I know the strongest and most brave, courageous thing that you can do is say, I'm hurting, but I'm still reaching. You're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not the exception. You're sitting in a crowd of people just like you, desperate for Jesus and ready to be made whole. So don't let the crowd keep you back. Something that I know to be true. Some of us have gotten so used to the pain that we've stopped believing that healing is even possible. Have you ever thought that? It's been too long. And the pain has become our identity. It's become our excuse. It's become our comfort zone. Do you know there's a story in John 5 that talks about this? There was a crippled man had been sitting beside the pool of Bethesda. Heard that story? Jesus came up to him and asked him a question. Do you know what the question was? What is it? Do you want to be healed? What a silly question, isn't it, to ask a crippled man? Jesus wasn't asking it surface level. You know that, right? He wasn't asking the obvious. See, sometimes we get so comfortable with brokenness that we stop reaching for wholeness. You know what Jesus was really asking him? He's asking him, are you desperate for healing? Are you that? Are you desperate? Do you really, really want it? Are you, and do you know what else? Are you willing to trust me for it? We'd ask anybody, do you want to be healed? Everybody'd say yes. But not everybody is willing and desperate. Jesus is asking someone today, I'm pretty sure, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be freed? Do you want to live whole? If the answer is yes, don't wait. Don't wait. Reach while you're still bleeding, while you're still hurting, while the crowd is pressing in. Because the healer's here today. Do you believe that the healer is here? Okay. Here's number three. If you want to heal from what broke you, we have to push through what's holding you back. Reach through or push through what's holding you back. A desperate faith moves us closer. Now I want to talk about what this woman actually did. She didn't believe quietly. She didn't just cry in her prayer closet. She reached. And that reach was bold. Now, we understand the context here. It said that she had been labeled unclean for 12 years. Do you know what that means? Unclean in this culture. Okay. Unclean means there were no hugs. She could not participate in any worship gatherings. There was no physical affection for her. There was no community for her. She wasn't just sick. She was isolated. She was rejected. And by the cultured standard, she was invisible. She didn't exist. She shouldn't have been in the crowd in the first place. She definitely should not have been reaching for a rabbi. But that leads me to believe that something rose up in her. In spite of the obstacles, and in spite of the circumstance, and in spite of the rules, and in spite of perhaps her getting in trouble, in spite of anything that might come her way, she said to herself, in some kind of desperation somewhere, if I can just reach through and touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. She didn't need permission, she needed healing. There's somewhere along the way, she's like, forget it all. I'll pay the price, it's worth it to get healing. She ignored all the reasons why she shouldn't or couldn't be healed, and she pushed through in desperation. That kind of faith, I'm telling you, that's a desperate faith. And sometimes desperate faith is the most honest kind of faith. You don't have to have the perfect prayer. Maybe you've got the messy cry. You couldn't quote a bunch of verses. Okay, who cares? But you know you need Jesus. And you know you need healing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sometimes healing doesn't happen until you stop caring what people think and you reach. You following me? When people talk to me about deliverance ministry, when they talk to me about what I've learned over the years, I never push them. So if they say, hey, I'd like deliverance, my response is, okay, let's talk about that. And then I don't say another word. You know why? Because in times where I've done deliverance ministry and they weren't desperate for it, they weren't reaching for it, it doesn't work. If you're not desperate for freedom and healing, the healing won't come. Because, here's why, because there's something else that's more important in priority, and you've got a plan B or a plan C. That's what that means. Nothing wrong with that, you're just not ready for it. And I've learned that unless someone seeks me out and pushes through and says, I want it, and I'm desperate for it, and I'm ready to do it, and they pursue, and thus they pursue it, I don't do it. I want to take this plainly. I want to say this plainly. Some of us have been sitting in a crowd for too long. You're close to Jesus, but you're not reaching. You've let pride or fear or shame put up a wall, and you've bought the lie, what will they think if I admit that I'm struggling? Can I tell you something today? Jesus doesn't respond to appearances. He responds to authenticity. Do you know that to be true? He don't care how you look on the outside. We live in a world where everybody's got to look like they've got it all together, don't we? Particularly in Christian circles. Here's the lie that the enemy likes to toss around at church. I like exposing his lies, by the way. He'll toss this one around. If they knew what you're really carrying, Daniel, they would doubt your walk with the Lord. They won't follow your teaching or preaching. They'll judge your actions and your prayers, and you will be disqualified to serve. And see, some of you are smiling at me right now because you've heard that lie before, haven't you? And it's given you pause. And you're like, yep, that's why I don't do that. Yep, that's why I won't say yes. Yep, that's why I'm just going to stay quiet. That's why I'm just going to do my thing. That's why. Those are lies from the pit of hell. And it's time to push through it. It's time to push through it. Sometimes the place where God heals you is the place where your deepest wound meets your boldest reach. Some of you already know what your press through is. For some, it's just showing up again next Sunday. For others, it's making a call that you've been putting off. For somebody, it's been going to somebody and saying, hey, let's get this right. Let's repent before the Lord and get it right. For some in here, it's going to be walking down to the altar before the final song even starts, or kneeling where you are, or just whatever the Lord leads you, whatever it is, don't let it stand between you and Jesus. Don't let it, don't let it, don't let it. She didn't wait for an audience. She didn't wait for an invitation. She just reached. She just reached. I'm with Tonda. I pray. And maybe the Lord can give us this, that we would have an atmosphere where the altar call wasn't just at the end of the sermon, but like if it were the first song and the Holy Spirit said, get something to me before you give your worship, that we would just be flooded whenever. If we're singing a song, you come, you kneel, you pray, you bow, you raise your hands, whatever. I just wish and I pray that God would give us freedom in the healing. And that we don't worry, like if they see me go down to the altar, well, they're going to think I just need salvation. I ain't saved. Who cares what they think? I'm tired of that. And if this church wants to move forward in healing, if we want to see people saved, set free, and growing, we're going to have to get to a place we don't care what people think about our relationship and our healing before a holy God. It's me and God and nothing else. When we get there, okay. Because you know what that means? It means that we're finally surrendered and He's got a vessel that He can heal and He can use. When she touched Jesus, everything changed. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between bumping into Jesus and reaching for Him in faith. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, it's not every contact with Christ that saves. It's the bold, believing, desperate touch of faith that draws the miracle. So here's what we're taking home from this. Here's what I want you to know. Put this in your tool belt, in your pocket, and think of it on the way home. Don't let fear, pride, or opinions of others block your reach. The breakthrough is on the other side of your surrender. Your reach is your act of trust. Stop managing the symptoms of your hurting and start surrendering the soul. Put past the lies that say you're too far gone, and you got to know that Jesus is still within reach, even when hope feels out of reach. Here's number four. Here's number four. Here's the deal. Here's what you got to know. When you reach for your healing, you're going to receive more than what you came for. You are going to receive more than what you came for. She came. She had this condition for years. She pushed through the crowd. She touched Jesus. And just like that, the bleeding stops. It's a miracle, right? Is it? Now, the story doesn't stop there, does it? And this is what most of us miss. She didn't just get what she came for. She got more than what she came for. Jesus heals more than what you ask for. Jesus could have kept walking. He could have kept walking. He could have let her get her healing and slip away unnoticed. But he stops and he turns around and he asks, "Who touched me?" Now, don't miss this, because it's not because Jesus didn't know who touched him. Right? Don't be naive. Jesus knew exactly who touched him. He did not ask, "Who touched me?" to get her name. He asked, "Who touched?" because he didn't just want to heal her body. He wanted to heal her soul. I want you to look at it again, verse 47 and 48. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees. In front of everyone, she explained why she had touched him. Look what he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He said, "Daughter, daughter." He didn't call her woman. He didn't call her healed one. He didn't call her the one who touched me. He called her daughter. Did you know that that's the only time Jesus uses that word in Scripture? Did you know that? Why? Why would he say that to her? Why? Because she didn't just need healing. She needed belonging. She needed to know that she wasn't just an issue to be fixed, but that she was a daughter to be loved. Jesus wasn't trying to embarrass her, nor will he try to embarrass you, but he was calling her out to call her up. Because when God makes you whole, He doesn't want you to walk away still thinking that you're a shadow or that you're a secret or that you're a nobody. He brings you into the light because He's not ashamed to call you a son or a daughter. Getting healed from your wounds, And someone needs to hear this. Getting healed from your wounds and coming to Jesus for healing from your failed marriage or for your abuse or for your insecurity or for your addiction is not a stain on God's reputation, or it's not a stumbling block to the cause of Christianity. That is true Christianity. When you come with all of your brokenness before a world, that is what it means to be a Christ follower. You're not going to embarrass him. You're not going to hurt his reputation. You're not going to stain Christianity for others. She came for a touch and she left with a name. She came for a cure and she received connection. She came broken and she walked away restored. Jesus is still doing that. I've seen people walk into church saying, I just need help managing my anxiety, Pastor. I'm just so anxious. And Jesus, you know what I think Jesus says? I want to give you peace that passes all understanding. I don't want to just cure your anxiety. I want to give you something more. That's grace, by the way. That's the gospel, by the way. Or someone said, I just need strength to get through this. I made a mistake. And Jesus wants to say, you're more than your mistake, you're my beloved. You see what I'm saying? Jesus always heals deeper than what we come for. Some of you came today looking for relief, but Jesus is here to give you restoration. You thought you needed a little strength, but he's calling you a son and he's calling you a daughter. You came for the bleeding to stop, and he's saying, no, I want to restore your identity with me. He doesn't just want to stop the pain for you. He will, but he doesn't just want to do that. He wants to take you back to the place where you lost your name. You know what I'm saying? Jesus can heal. What time? You heard the thing, time heals all wounds? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Jesus can heal what time, what people, and what counseling or therapy can't touch. Time is good. It helps process. People are good to confide in and to walk along with us. That's good. Counseling and therapy is good. I've got a good one if you need one. They're all good. But I'm telling you, Jesus can heal what those things cannot. You are not your issue. Whatever your issue is, you're not your issue. You're not your trauma. That's not your identity. You're not your past. You're not too far gone, but you are seen, and you're loved, and you're called, and you're His. And you can receive more than what you came for. So how do I heal from what broke me? How do I heal from what broke me? You reach, you be honest, you bring your brokenness, not your best, and you let Jesus do what only He can do, and He'll do more than what you ask Him to do. And whatever you do, remember that you're not alone.